You know, the Lord has put a song in my heart and a message in my heart to share. I want to start out telling you something fun that happened as I was heading home with my husband a while ago from Greg and Rose's house, actually. You don't know this. And we were out there to celebrate Greg's birthday. And we get on Wales Road coming home. And all of a sudden, there are just all kinds of police cars, and there's a lineup of people who are checking cars. And I was just having a really good time. I was feeling really happy inside, joyful inside, the joy of the Spirit inside. And so there's a way to handle these things, these lineups that you go through. There's a name for them. What do you call them? Checkpoint. Thank you. Checkpoint. Thank you, lawyer. So checkpoints were right there. Well, I was intoxicated, but not in the worldly sense. I was filled up. I was under the influence, but not in the worldly sense. There was an influence. There is an influence that I desire to live under, but I was under his influence. And it was kind of fun because I enjoyed this checkpoint, because as we were going farther and farther and farther down the checkpoint, and I guess people, you know, check you and make sure that you're not drinking and doing other things and you don't have weapons in your car and, you know, all that good stuff. And so I thought that was really fun, because I was just, I knew that the atmosphere inside of me that I was carrying was different than what they were looking for. And so as we got to one of the last ones, you know, my husband said, we're just going to keep going, aren't we? Well, he stopped us because I was smiling and having a really good time. And I knew that there was a little bit of a conflict of the kingdoms, I felt, going on. And so when I was there and talking to the man, he came on, he looked, got really close to me with his flashlight. And he looked right in my eyes. And he wondered if I was really sober. And it was kind of funny, and I was smiling, and we didn't want to get pulled out. It's not good to have a pastor pulled out of the car with their arms up. That's not a good thing for the others going by. But that, you know, that's what could have happened. It's like, oh no, Lord, I really wasn't wanting that. I just wanted to enjoy the moment, seize the moment, you know, change the atmosphere for whatever the Lord was doing. But I was aware at that point of what was going on. I wasn't trying to be, you know, funny or anything. I just really was having a good time. But I knew that there was a conflict of the kingdoms at that moment. There may have been fear or suspicion or wondering, but that person, bless him, didn't know me by the Spirit, didn't know I was carrying the very essence and fragrance of heaven and the fragrance of God. There was a joy in my heart, a song in my heart that was a little bit overwhelming probably at that time. So I was, you know, striking up conversation, saying things, hello, how are you? What's all this? What's going on here? I've never been through one of these. Well, typically you don't do that. You just answer the questions and you go. And so I could see the concern in the police officer's eyes. What should I do with her? But, you know, the Lord allowed me to pass through. But it was a picture for me. I thought, well, Lord, someday I'll share that, because you have been so graceful to me. There's so much favor that is released through someone who really is in love with Jesus, who would be you and me. The favor of God, where the Lord says, this is just my child. This is my kid. It's okay. I've been pulled over other times too, and not realizing some things, and I've had the favor of God as well. I'm not saying that we should not be cognizant of what we're doing, but sometimes we're so overwhelmed with joy and peace and righteousness and the Holy Ghost that it just really doesn't matter what's happening. Doesn't mean that we're being insensitive. It just means that, you know what? I was destined and designed to change the atmosphere, because I carry the very atmosphere of heaven. And that would be my offering to you today as I start in wherever the Lord wants to take this, that my challenge would be, do you carry the atmosphere of heaven? We can sing his praises. We can say, oh, Lord, you are great. Oh, I worship you, and that's awesome. And gosh, let's continue that as we leave this place. But let that be the song of our heart as we leave today, depending on who you are and where you're going and what you're doing today and when you will leave. Do I carry the atmosphere of heaven? If I belong to Jesus, he says yes. But he says, do you know that you do? Is it releasing? Is the atmosphere of heaven actually releasing? Thank you. That was important. So that would be my suggestion and my thought and my challenge. Thank you so much for you to think about that. The very atmosphere of heaven. The Lord is saying, are you aware? Last time I was speaking 2 weeks ago, I was speaking about some aspects of the atmosphere of heaven, about the kingdom, about being aware, and went through Acts 13 and 14. We all did this together, talking about Paul and Silas and their encounters with a different kingdom. And they carried the very atmosphere of heaven. If you recall, we spoke through that, and read those chapters if you haven't, and listen to it online if you weren't here. It's very powerful because it's good. It's the Word of God. And so with the atmosphere of heaven being unleashed through Paul, through Barnabas, there was conflict, definitely. There was kingdom conflict. And they incurred a lot of kingdom conflict. But it was really interesting because if you remember back, there was an exposure of the nature of the enemy. It's like, ha-ha, I can see. And the challenge for each one of us, one of the challenges, I should say, was, are you aware? Are you watching? Are you aware of what's happening? Do you know what's going on? Are you really in tune? Are you checking in with the season that you're in? Because you're in a season, whether you like it or not. Hopefully you like it. And God says, are you checking in with that season? Do you know what season you are in? Are you aware of the kingdom reality that you carry and that you are partnering with? Do you know when the Lord is showing up? Are you aware that He's here, He's unleashing, and things are happening? And are you partnering with it? So a mental awareness just doesn't cut it. It's going to be a spiritual yes. When Pastor Bill was preaching last week on the life of Joseph, it was very good, very powerful. And there were so many kingdom principles. You could just go on and on and on and on and on. But it was long enough. It was good. And so there were lots of kingdom principles. But what he said, if you caught, what he said, if you caught, no, it was wonderful. I loved every minute, honey. It was awesome. Awesome. It was really anointed, very powerful. But with that, if you listened to the kingdom principles only and didn't catch the spirit behind it and didn't realize how anointed Joseph was and how he made choices to step into the very atmosphere that he was carrying and that he was stepping in to the atmosphere that needed to be released, if you didn't catch that, then you only caught part of the message, because he did not have the Spirit of God living inside of him 24/7 as we do under this new and better covenant, which is amazing. But he had the favor of God. He had the Spirit of God come upon him and lead and direct his life. So he was a man who lived by kingdom principles, but he also partnered with the Spirit of God. Not only are we called by God to live by his kingdom principles, but we are called to live under his influence. And we are living under his influence. We are driving while intoxicated, perhaps, under his influence. Or we have might say to one of our people in here, are you living under the influence? Living under the influence of God. What is a DUI? Driving under the influence? And of course, in the natural, that's not a good thing because that can hurt many people. But the Lord says in the Spirit, if we are living under the influence, what we are doing is living in agreement with heaven. And heaven is being released through us. Now, if you're hearing this academically, okay, God's very smart. He's smarter than any of us. So our brains are challenged. And we say, okay, I've heard this before. But if it doesn't move us and it doesn't trigger something in us and there's not a sweet release going, whoa, yes, that's really true. The very one who has given me life, the one who has hung the stars in the sky and the planets and has created everything, the one who is bigger than big, is the one living on the inside of me. If that doesn't rock your world, the Lord says, you're not burning. You're not burning in love with me. And God says, today is the day, a new day, where my kingdom reality is being released through you, through this house. Watch and see. Become aware and say yes. And harness the moment, seize the moment, and you will walk in my excellence. Excellence. The Lord says, I have created you for excellence. I have not created you to perform for me. I have created you to be excellent for me because I am excellent. He says, I have created you to take the very authority that I, Father God, have released fully to my Son that is in you if you will step into the fullness of your destiny. And I have given that to you. Will you allow it to be released? Whoa! If that's true, And your heart partners with that. There's a stirring that goes up inside. And you become fired up inside. And you start burning. You can't help it. I've been burning for a long time, but I want to burn more. And the Lord says, if we burn with the fire of His presence, we will live under the influence. Who? And it doesn't matter where we go. It doesn't matter who's standing there. It'll be a president. It'll be a king. It'll be a priest. We are kings and priests. But the Lord says, it won't matter because you will be so consumed with the fiery passion and power of God that you will be able to read their mail, help them with whatever's going on, bring heaven to earth, and affect change. Are we affecting change? When you walk down the street, you take a walk with your sweetie, or without your sweetie, or if you don't have a sweetie, okay? You walk down the street, what are you thinking? Oh, I have been crazy since I got saved. I am. I am so in love with Jesus. I can't help myself. And I was thinking about how I started out. And I thought, Lord, you didn't put me in a place where they're talking about this stuff. You didn't put me in a place where they're saying you need to burn for Jesus. And He's going to light you on fire. And you're going to become this crazy in love person who's going to go to the nations. That wasn't there at that time. But He was in me, and He is in you. And He's saying, if you take that for granted 1 second, you will not be excellent for Him in any way. It's like, whoa, is this Debbie Downer here? Are you saying I'm not excellent for God? I'm saying from heaven's perspective, we are. But if we are not releasing that reality and living under the influence, we are not. Whoa. And the Lord says, it's time to wake up. It is time to wake up from the slumber. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. And that when we say, wake up, church, that we're all standing at attention going, oh, Lord, I don't want to be slumbering. I don't want to be sleeping. I don't want to miss anything. I want to be one who seizes the moment. And this is a moment in history, I believe. Aaron, I'm so glad you're here. Are you here? Okay. Well, he can hear it later. But anyway, I am so glad you're here to hear this message, because I believe that the Lord is saying, I'm doing something new in your midst, because I am releasing, saying, do you see? Will you partner? Will you pay attention? Will you get it? Because as we do, we are reflecting His excellence. Excellence on every front. Excellence in this building. We need help. Excellence in some of our areas. Okay, it's really true. If you see something, you're going to pick it up. If you see a light burned out, you're going to do something about it. If you see something, it becomes yours. You take ownership, whatever it is. Because we're seeing this is the boat that God's given us for right now. And this is the tabernacle that lives inside of us that becomes our place of influence. It's like, wow. But it only comes from a heart that's burning. Because you can only have so many emails that go out and say, help. It's going to be a burning heart that sees what's going on. A burning heart will see. A burning life will know. A burningness inside, or a burn inside, will be able to see what God is saying. Go, whoa, let me be part of it. That's exciting, isn't it? God says, are we thrilled? Are we excited? Are we exuberant? Do we have vision? Well, I've got a mission from God. I need to go save souls. Honestly, when we sang, Give Me a Passion for Souls on Tuesday, it was pathetic. I'm saying that. That's the truth. It's such an anointed song. But we sang that song, and oh, for where we have come from and where we're going, it was pathetic. It wasn't the worship pathetic team. The team was not pathetic. It was all of us here were not seeing some things that God was doing, maybe here and there. But as a corporate group, there was something at that moment. And it really struck me. It really hit me. It's like, whoa, Lord, I need to repent. You're not saying, P&P, you're pathetic. You're saying, honey, have you seen everything that I'm releasing in this moment? Because if you do, then no one's going to have to say, come on, sing out. It's going to be, wow, on the inside. We're designed for that. So it's a checkup. It's like, whoa, Lord, I'm going through a checkpoint here, and I need to be under the influence. I'm going through a checkpoint, and it's a good checkpoint because you don't want me to miss anything. The only reason the police are doing that, the only reason, is because they want people to be safe. And our Papa wants us to be safe. He says, do you understand that your mission to go save souls, your mission to agree that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, when that mission is understood, then you need vision, and the vision for what that's going to look like right now in my life, where I am, what the future's going to be. Lord, show me. And that vision will stir up more than the zeal and passion of the mission. It'll be both hand in hand together. Mission and vision together. God says, all right. And when we walk that way, then we start seeing. And then when we start singing out, Jesus, I love you, we're not looking out the window. We're not looking out the door. It's just how it works. And I'm not looking at anybody, whether you're looking. I don't really care. But I just know this is what he's told me. This is how it works on the inside. And he says, I want to release more burning. More burning in all of our hearts. So we get past the performance and we jump into excellence because we're burning. We are so lit on fire that we can't even stop ourselves. And then excellence is released. Authority is released. And all of those are birthed in love. That's the love of our God. I'm going to read something to you that I found. I'm not going to tell you the name. The person who wrote this will know. But it's all good. But I want to read this because I want you to capture something. And this did not happen here. This is actually overseas. But it was really fun. One moment. Soon and very soon I won't have these. Okay. And this was not this current summer, this past summer, but the summer before. The summer where the enemy tried to come and take Pastor Bill and I out. Which didn't work, but it was that summer, and it was the beginning of that summer, and it was the first mission outreach of that summer. It was actually the first outreach of that particular trip, completely. And I was so moved by this, I wanted to read it to you, because it's very cool. It says, today was awesome. We went to Saint-Gervais for ministry. We were actually on the bus on our way somewhere else, and it was pouring rain. So we turned around to go to this village instead. We were all on the bus, and PMP told us all to pray that the rain would stop so we would be able to still have ministry. When we arrived at the site, the rain had let up some, but there was a building, a porch, that all these people were standing under for shelter. It could not have been better. It was like God just set these people up. We got off the bus. We put ponchos over the sound boxes, hats over the microphones, potted up, and just went for it. Inside, I just felt this huge adrenaline rush. Things were just clicking. It felt like the Lord had set up this divine strategy, and we were just falling into it. We did Released, which is a drama, and all these people just came out of nowhere. Surrounding us. They were even standing in the rain, hundreds of people. After the drama, PMP and PB were preaching, and I loved it, underlined. Inside, my heart just felt so alive, and I remember thinking to myself, quote, there is nothing that excites me more, nothing that makes me feel more alive inside than this, unquote. Just the combination of such powerful preaching, anointing, raw power being released, and an entire African village going nuts, makes me more excited than anything else. I felt like my heart came alive in ways it had never before. I felt like I could run 1,000 miles in that moment. After a lot of people testified of healing with such continued excitement, we got back in the bus. Pastor Bill had prayed for a deaf boy earlier, and something struck me about that. Well, he came back to Pastor Mary Pat, prayed for him. She prayed for him, a deaf boy. The deaf boy from birth was healed. The roar, let me say it again because I don't want to miss this, is this holy roar just erupted. This holy roar just erupted. The crowd was jumping and cheering. PMP was crying. Samora was crying. It was holy, and it was awesome. We were driving back and praying for the people and just praising the Lord for the victory. A few of us in the back just looked at each other and said, "And it's only day one." We got back to the compound and each person shared what had excited them. It was electrifying and contagious. I love it when there's such a corporate excitement at what the Lord is doing. Oh, I don't even know what to write. It's just so mind-blowing. I'm so excited for what's coming. It feels like a shift has taken place all around us, and I love it. I am amazed at the Lord. I can't even think of how to express how good, how awesome, how kind, how worthy, wonderful, glorious, holy, amazing, powerful, mind-blowing, incredible, just tremendous He is. He is so kind. What a merciful, wonderful God He is. Can we just say amen? Oh, I read that and I burst into tears. I hadn't read it since that time. It was actually put away. I'd read it that time. And I read it and was like, wow, wow. So I read it again last night, actually early this morning, and I thought, I might even possibly read this to the group, depending on what God does. And as I read it again, I was right back there. I remember the moments because I was there. It's like, oh my gosh. I came into remembrance of what God had done, especially not only with all the salvations of all these Muslims. God used a crazy situation to bring hundreds into the kingdom. It was so powerful, so powerful, so powerful. And when this little boy was healed and the bus is out there, there's people everywhere and the sweat's dripping and the rain's dripping off, and he can hear, everyone just went, wow, everybody, all these guys. And when I read this again, I just cried because I was right back there. I was like, oh my gosh, that's right. And I burst into tears then, and I burst into tears now. Why? Because it was brought back. It was alive. Alive, alive, alive. The Lord says, seize the moment. Seize the moment. Wherever you are, what you're doing, you may not have a testimony of this, but I am telling you, this person from this letter had a passion for souls. Can you see what I'm saying? The Lord is saying, when he shows up and we're ready for it and we're partnering with people who are on fire, God says, you will burn. You will burn, and you will see my glory, and you will carry my glory, and you will walk in excellence. You will release authority. You will be this burning ember, and others will come to you, not just get stoked, but they'll be lit on fire, and that is going to release the glory in a powerful way in this house. Oh, there's such an anointing here. About fell over when I walked in this morning. It's like, wow, hey, I think we're going to go somewhere here, God. Don't know exactly what it's going to look like. The Lord says, when you see something like this, or you hear something like this, you can do a couple of things. One, wasn't there. I don't know, sounds good. Two, I want to be there. I want to know this fury of love inside. I want to be lit on fire that way. Or three, you can explain it away that it was some emotional person. It's just, you know, I mean, they got wrecked in a bus, and what are you going to do? But I really think you know better, that God is really saying that I'm showing up. And what is going to be the result? An eruption of praise and thanksgiving for the great God that He is. And we can't help ourselves. It's like, God, I can't help. It's contagious. It's contagious love. Oh. I'm challenging you. I'm a challenger. Can you tell? When I first came to know Jesus and I was lit on fire, and I started to tell you, I didn't go to a place that was really as wild, maybe, as some of us might feel that we are moving towards, however you want to say it. Anyway, I used to walk around my neighborhood thinking, who can I tell about Jesus? Five families later that came to the church. Five. Oh, she's just wonderful because she has the gift of evangelism, you know. I mean, that's why she's so crazy. No. Hey, I do. But we're all evangelists, right? Ha. And the Lord says, are you aware? Are you aware? Are you aware? Are you aware? And I thought it was normal. I really thought, well, I mean, surely you walk around the block and you start talking about Jesus to people. Everybody does that. I thought that. Really, I did. And I still do. I still believe that's what God has when we're burning. When we're burning for Him. How do we burn? How do we burn like fire? How do we move in that type of flame and not release it? You know, many of us have been overseas or downtown. We've been out, you know, on the mission field, you know, somewhere, whatever that would look like. And the Lord says, where's your passion now? What are you doing now? Today is the new day. Seize the day. What are you feeling now? What are you thinking now? Do you wake up in the morning? Are you charged? Do you go to bed? Are you charged? Are you dealing with your kids thinking, I'm charged for Jesus, and they're just going to start burning because I'm burning? Or do we get wrapped up in the stuff that the enemy says, how can I stop that crazy woman? How can I stop that crazy man? What will it be? Oh, another message on distraction. Please don't be distracted. Well, if you're distracted, who wants to hear a message on distraction? Doesn't even make sense to me. So I'm not preaching it. However, the Lord says we were created to burn. And He says, if you want to burn, you'll burn. If you don't want to burn, you won't burn. He will burn you up. It's true. And that's a consuming fire of God's heart and God's love. It's really true. You know, He's so gracious and so loving, and you know, He forgets all our sins and all that. But He's not a God of excuses. There is no excuse. Period. Well, but I have issues. Okay? No excuse. Issues or not, Jesus is bigger. So we can work with issues, but I'd rather work with Jesus than let Him help me with those issues. Amen? So let's do that. Let's partner together. Oh my goodness. Last Sunday was amazing. If you weren't here, get the tape. Of course, I don't know if this part's on there. I don't even know. We'll see. But it will be, because the message was awesome, and that should be on the website. But also with the message, oh, that was so good. There were three things that happened. Do you remember what they were? Anne came up. She shared about a vision in the sky. Remember that? It wasn't just Anne came up and shared about a vision in the sky. It's about a prophetic release of something that God was saying to each one of us, every single one of us who call Frontline home and say, wow, what are you doing, God? And God showed up. And it piggybacked something that He showed me in the sky, which I did share with you. And that one is in print, and that one's on the table. And there was a challenge last week. Read it. How many were so burning after that, or 2 weeks ago, whatever, and took one? It's like, I got to read this. What? God, I want to be aware. What are you saying? What are you doing? What are you doing right now? Well, both of these visions in the sky, if you will, involve the sword of the Spirit, the power of God, the word of God, intercession. We are like a mighty army. Not like, we are a mighty army. And God says, intercession will increase. My praises will increase. There will be a new wave coming through this place as you see the components of revival that I've already released in this house. If we see that and study it and understand it, oh my gosh, we'll be wrecked. Absolutely wrecked. We won't be able to sleep. We won't be able to do anything. We'll just burn. You can still sleep. But God is saying, really, this is time to pay attention. This is time to say, what is really going on? I mean, if you get nothing else, I always say that, so I don't want to say that because I don't want you to think there's nothing else. But if you want to try to bring this down into, like, hey, I need some order here, you know. Is this point three or point two? I don't know. I'm trying to take notes. You're all over the map. What's wrong with you? Ah, Holy Spirit. I would say, ask God to show you. Ask God to show you, seriously, what are you doing right now? And what is she trying to say? And why? What do I need to see in my own life? What do I need to see right now? What part of my life is not completely excellent from the kingdom standards? The kingdom of God. God is excellent. What part? When we're walking in excellence, and it doesn't become performance because I'm a good little Christian robot, but we're aware that He's saying, I am going to bring anything that is not excellent to the surface and burn it up so you can walk and reflect Me. And then you are really that atmosphere changer that you sing about, that we sing about. I'm carrying the glory. Okay, can I be blunt? You don't think I am, I'm sure. Okay, if you've got a strong mouth And somebody goes like this when you're around, and you're just trying to, you know, share your heart and your point. But they're like this, and it's like, how do I? It's like stepping on eggs. You need to change. Okay? If someone is talking and you like to interrupt them, you need to take a look and say, I'm not going to do that anymore. If you start walking away because, you know, I just need my own chilling time. I just need to be away, and I'm just going to wrap myself up in myself. You need to change. These are the things God's saying right now, that there are changes that he's bringing, and the changes will come as the power is released and we are in agreement. Here, let me say it again. When the power of God is released, which is what he's doing right now, he's releasing power. But here's his invitation. Will you change under the power? Do you want to live under the influence? Will you allow that change to take place? Because we can be flattened to the floor, and the holy fear of God can come upon us. And God loves us enough still that he'll say, do you want me? Do you want me? Okay, here's another challenge. We have a week of 24/7 prayer coming up. I think it's November 14th through the 21st. If I got that right. I want you to mark that in your mind. I want you to think about it. Not just, okay, I think maybe I'll sign up for an hour or two. This is not a call to sign up. This is a call for you to think. Think. God's a big thinker. He really is. He thought, and he spoke. He thought things out, and then he spoke them into existence. And the Lord says, what are you thinking about when it comes to that? Do you see what I see? Why is it important? Will you schedule to be away for that week? Because, you know, my gosh, it's almost Christmas. I need to take a break. Point being, it's not an event that you're being called to. It's being called to what God is doing and saying, God, what is important? My choices, whatever I will do during that week, my choices will affect other people. It's not about me. Take the dates and take the calendar and look at it and then say, God, what are you saying? What are you doing? Oh, yes, but my trip to Botswana is more important right now. Well, if he's calling you there, that's fine. But there are things that will come up that are part of our everyday world, everyday life, that are so important to us, but not necessarily the highest priority on the face of the planet Earth and in the heavens with God. Think about that. What is she saying? Is she saying I have to do something? I'm suggesting that you take this and you go to the Lord and you run with it and say, Lord, I want to burn. Because if I don't have a holy fire for what you have called for the second year here, then maybe there's something wrong. Maybe I'm not excellent inside for you. And he'll say, honey, you're excellent inside. It's just the outside. The inside is my temple. It's what you do with me. Oh. That was just an example to think about. Think about that. 24/7 prayer. Wow, why is that important? Is it significant? Has God been building? Is there a momentum? Do I know anything about fasting? Do I want to? Is there any material on that? Is he calling this church to a higher place? Am I part of that? What does that mean for me? Those are the kinds of questions that a person who wants to burn will ask God. Show me, show me, show me, show me, show me. When we go to the Lord and say, show me, he will show us. If you've got a problem with a group of people, be the one to solve it and humble yourself and say, hey, let's work this out. I'm moving past this. I don't have time because I want to see the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord is coming, and he's already released a portion of the glory here. Okay? And he's saying, do you want to see more? Do you want to see more? Who wants to see more of the Lord? Who wants to feel the power and the presence and the exalting fury of the flame of God in this house? If you do, there's a cost to pay. Because most people down the street probably don't. But there are forerunners. There are forerunners who are called by God to pay the price. Oh, that's so good. I have so many things. I'm not sharing them all. But I've been studying more and more, again, the various revivals and just having so much fun. It's like, Lord, what's it? You know, we're in revival. We're in the beginning stages. We're in the little trickle down. You know, the great, big, huge deluge and downpouring is coming. And so we are contending for the big, huge downpour and deluge right here. This has been prophesied here. How? And the Lord says, I will show up in a place that's lit on fire for me, but I'll start with their hearts, please. Thank you. Let's start that way. And then this sovereign move of God will come. He's saying, if you want to study the revivals and you want to see what I have done, just like the lady or the guy, whoever wrote this little piece from two summers ago, you know, had captured the heart of the Lord at that moment. And if the enemy would do anything to pull that away from that person or anybody else on that team or any other experience, then the enemy is moving. And the Lord says, wake up! Wake up and see, and seize the moment and take back what God has already established. When we experience His goodness, when we experience His power, wow! If we're walking in any kind of complacency and just kind of mediocrity or any of that, oh my gosh, it's time to say, no more, not on my watch. No more for me. No more for me. God says, I want to be the one that helps you with your plans. When you think about what you want to do next month, yes, but I'm a planner. I'm a long-range visionary. Me too. But I still submit myself to the Lord. But, you know, family's important. Yes. Jesus works through family. But the Lord's more important. What does that mean? You need to find that out. Because some of us still use excuses. And I'm just hearing this. And God is saying, find out. Find out what it looks like. And don't waste time. Which I spoke to someone very close to me recently. Don't waste time. The Lord is saying, don't waste time, because I'm moving. Don't waste time. Seize the moment. This is the time to live under the influence. And that means that we have to change our modus operandi on our way to work, or when we get home, or whatever our world is, so that we're feeling the influence of God. I just want to feel this burning passion. This is something that God says you can live in, and you can have, even now, and it will grow in intensity. What's so sad to me is that I've been studying the life of Charles Finney, and it's like in Azusa Street Revival and some other things again, and looking at what God was doing before, but also saying, what are you doing now? What's being said now? And he's saying, wake up, church. That's what I'm saying, because I'm on the edge. I'm doing these things. It's great to know that you are an intercessor and you're a prophet, or you're this or you're that. That's great. Wonderful. Amen. I'm all about it. But if you're not burning for me, excellence of my heart, kingdom heart is not being released. He's saying, are you burning? Do you want to burn? It's time to burn. And a burning person, you can't escape the flame. And they're around you. It's like, but it's the flame of love, and God will use that. He will use that to draw people to you and to the place of burn, because that's what he wants to do. That's a big God. That's what he did in Ghana at that particular outreach, and he wants to do that in our lives. And he says, if we're making many of our own decisions, really calling it, I'm praying and being led by God, and there's no God leading, we're doing that. And I'm humbly suggesting to all of us to put our things, our plans before the Lord and say, I might have to turn a little bit differently here. I'm going to see what my thoughts and my plans will possibly do to influence or affect somebody else. You might have to change a date of something because it might not be the best for others, especially when there's the priority of God involved. God is the priority. The Lord's the priority. A lot of people don't see that. And then we tiptoe trying to make it work for people. And God is saying, if you come to me, I'll show you how to do it. Because I'm the priority. Can we turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians 7, please? Ooh. If I live under his influence, I become influential. And then I can and will affect change wherever I am. I'm going to read it again. I wrote this. The Lord gave it to me, these two sentences. Listen carefully. If I live under his influence, I become influential, and then I can and will affect change wherever I am. My sphere of influence will be affected by my influence, and that really is what releasing heaven to earth is. You know, there's a lot of songs written, there's a lot of words, a lot of verbiage out there, tons of books, heaven come, and we don't have a clue to what that looks like. Lord is saying, live under the influence, and that influence will cause you to be one very, very influential person. And people will look at you and agree with you, and they won't know why. It happens all the time. People of influence influence places, families, regions, nations, territories. The Lord is saying, do you think I gave you a sword in the sky? Twice, hello, in a supernatural vision for you not to say, what does this mean? There's more. I would get both of those visions and start praying through them and go, what does that mean? What are you saying? I can tell you what I think it means, and I have to some degree, but not fully yet. And the Lord is releasing more and more and more and more. And Cynthia came up after Ann shared last week, and this is all before the message of Joseph. I was so excited because it was like, wow, setting the stage for the Word of God with a powerful message from Pastor Bill about the life of Joseph. It was powerful. If it was ho-hum to you, you're probably not burning, probably not under the influence, because it was powerful. But the Lord says this, if we're living, get this one, this is so good. If we're living by principles, we're going to listen to a good message, but we're not going to be changed by it. If we're living under the influence, we're going to hear the principles, and there was more than principles released. There was passion and fire. But if we're not desirous of that, we could easily miss what God was doing. Because if I go to Nate and I say, Nate, here's 10 points of how you need to live. Here, you do this, and you're just going to be just cooking with God. Wow. You do those things. Boom, 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 boom. And he goes, okay, I'll try those. And he's feeling like, okay, I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this. I mean, Joseph did it. Why not me? I can do this. You know, da, da, da. And what happens? If he's living under the influence, if he's caught that part of the message, and he's saying, you know, Lord, I need to chill. I need to chill. I need to rest in your presence, and I need to read your word. Because if I'm resting in your presence, I am going to be driven to your word. Now listen to me, because we are all about soaking in this house. Soak, 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 soak. Did you ever put something in a bucket and it soaks and it just sits there and you kind of walk off and go, oh, I forgot about it. Oh my gosh, that shirt has been soaking in there forever. Might be kind of clean, but it's totally useless because it's in the bucket. The Lord says when we soak, whoa, then we're consumed with the nature of God releasing the very goodness. We're living under the influence, and then we become passionate people who live for excellence, and we are driven. And we are driven as we soak, and we will be driven, I guarantee you, to the Word of God. Focus leaders, leaders of any kind in here, if you are not spending a good amount of time reading and studying the Word of God under the influence, you're half-baked. And if you want to be fully baked where you come out with this sweet-smelling aroma, it's time to change, because there needs to be a very large priority on the importance and the significance of the living Word of God that's sharper and active, more active and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Lord says, if you soak, you'll read the Word of God. And if you read the Word of God and you want to live under His influence, really, you'll end up soaking. Why? Because it's about inviting His presence and then establishing more and more of who He is. The Word of God is so important, so serious. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. If you don't have a Bible, or you don't bring it on Sundays or Tuesdays or any day, go get one. Keep it in your car. Keep it on your bike. Keep it with you. Make it your best friend. I'm serious. Yes, but you're a presence church. You betcha. How do you think we became a presence church? By the Word of God and establishing the Word of God. And it's not for the old days. It's for the now. Word of God, presence of God, they go hand in hand. That's the Spirit and that's the Word together. And if you have either missing, you have no life. Ho! That's a powerful word. Hey, take it. Take it and own it. Be changed by it. These words are challenging to be changed. We can be transformed and changed because they're being given under the influence. And if we receive them and say, Lord, I want to receive them. I want to be transformed and changed right now. We will. We will. We'll be different. Say, let me see my schedule. I may have to change it. Oh, this is how we change. We're transformed by the power and the presence of God. It's true. 2 Corinthians 7. Where's my Bible? There it is. Good stuff. Isn't this fun? And you know what? I did not see this. This is being redesigned, by the way. I'm not sure exactly how or where, by whom. But this is lovely. And I love what happened today. But I didn't even see it. Created me a pure heart and renew a steadfast spirit in me. That's what I prayed out. Did you notice that? How many noticed that? I didn't see this. That's our God. That's so cool, God. You're just so cool. You're amazing. I should read what this person wrote from Ghana. You're amazing. You're beyond amazing. That's the kind of God you are to me. If we're living anything else other than that, we're just only getting a portion of the goodness of God. So 2 Corinthians 7. Let me see what I want to. I think I'll start in 6. Isn't this good? Are you being encouraged? Yeah. Are you saying yes just because I'm pastor? No. Okay. That's good. I'm just going to back up here, retreat a little bit to 2 Corinthians 6. In 2 Corinthians 6, it's just really amazing because the Corinthian church is being encouraged to stand for against all the things that can certainly rob them of their joy and their peace and their worship and all those things. And Paul is commending them, stay. And it was just really amazing to read when he says in verse 3, giving no cause for offense in anything so that the ministry will not be discredited. It's like, oh my, that is so, that makes me shudder and shake. And I have a big circle around that, and it's been there for years. It's like, okay, Lord, what have I done? What have I said that was really not very smart? Oh my gosh, I don't want anything that would discredit you in any way, shape, or form. And if so, I repent. Ho! I do an about face. It's over. It's done. The Lord is saying, take that home with you because your ministry is between you and your friends and your family and this church and your workplaces and every place else. The Lord is saying, let there not be anything that would cause someone to stumble at all. The Lord is very gracious. Very, very gracious. And when something truly is repented of, it doesn't exist in heaven any longer. That's amazing. That's amazing love of God. Thank you, Lord. But moving on in verse 3, and you think, what does that have to do with anything? Well, in verse 6, now just check this out. If you want to just start burning more and more, this is a way. Verse 6, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love. In other words, take everything that comes that's really released and fight the good fight. Stand, having done all, stand. Deal with everything that's coming your way. But if you're giving license to it, and you've got something that's eating your lunch or the people around you, get over that. Okay, Paul had some really tough hardships, and it wasn't necessarily by something he had done. But if there's any of our own stuff, it's time. Let's keep moving. Because it says in verse 6, it says, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness, for the righteous, for the right hand and the left. Just kind of mark those two verses and think about them later. We're going to move quickly past those two. But this is what makes a big difference to God. He's very, very, very serious about purity. He's so serious. He says, if you're not, I am. And I so want this place to burn as a beacon. Purity is a very big deal. So if we put our spin on what we think purity is, we're just having to take another test again. God says, it's time. Let's really take a look at this. Now, particularly verses 11 through the end of that chapter, let's just jump down here. It says, our mouth has always spoken freely to you, O Corinthians. Our heart is opened wide. You are not restrained by us, but you are restrained in your own affections. That is huge. Verse 12. You are not restrained by us, but you are restrained in your own affections. So what really seems to matter to you is restraining you. And there are unholy affections, things that are really important to you. It's like, oh, I just need a break. Oh, this is what I'm going to do. Okay, well, God gives us times of rest. But in that rest, if there's any unholy alliance, any unholy affection, any type of restraining that would take place in our hearts, God is saying, what are you doing? You carry heaven. Remember? You want to release heaven. Yeah, but I just need this one night. No, you don't. Period. No. Because we have the tabernacle of God on the inside of us. And he's saying to us, kids, I want you to expand your tent pegs. You can do it because I'm going to back you up. But I'm going to extend the tent pegs on the inside of you. And when I show you that there's a big, 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 big sheet from heaven coming down and tabernacling you right now, pay attention to that. It's a big deal. It's like, what is that? That's what Ann shared. And it's also written. Wow, that was good. You were not restrained by us, but restrained in your own affection. Now, in a like exchange, I speak as to children. Open wide to us also. Open wide. Remember verse 11. Our heart is opened wide. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? Familiar words. We've read it in many books, right? For some. But the Lord is saying, this is not just for, you know, this is not this principle that you better like, okay, I better get this principle down. Because, oh my gosh, I can't mow the lawn with that guy. He's not a believer. That won't work. Hi-ya! I got the principle down. Righto, God. And he's going, what are you talking about? You don't understand my word. You don't understand what is being said. You are living by principle. You are not under the influence. It's like, oh, what do you mean? The good question. What do you mean, Holy Spirit? What are you really saying to me? I believe the answer is in here. Because some of us are still walking in the law. I'm going to do this because it says I can walk by faith, and I'm going to do this and it's going to work. Yep. And God says, honey, you don't understand what faith really looks like. You're still compromising in a lot of other areas. So you're going to try to work on this one and try to feel more spiritual, and it's just not working for you. It's because you're not understanding my heart. You don't understand the holy passion that I have for you and my holy presence that needs to consume you right now. And so some of that understanding that you're putting a spin on your own world on is just you. And it's just works. You'll find out. I mean, that's how God talks to me. Does he talk to you that way? It's like, oh my gosh, you love me so much, you're trying to help me get it right without performing. Okay, I can do that. And I'm not being facetious when I do this. I mean, I'm saluting the Lord for sure because he's so wonderful. But let's keep going here. Verse 16, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said. Let me back up. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? How many sermons have you heard over your life? I mean, really, don't tell me, but you think about this. How many sermons? Do you have idols in your life? I mean, they need to go. You know what I mean? Idols. It could be you're eating cornflakes all the time, and it's like, I'm just really tired of cornflakes. You know, it could be something else. It's like, I have to wear white shoes. I don't know why. Something happened to me when I was two. So every shoe that I have needs to be white. I don't know. So if I don't have one, I'm really nervous. You know, crazy stuff like that. And it might not be so crazy. But God is saying, what really, from my perspective, this is a good question, really, for God. What is an idol? What really do you think is an idol for me, God? What is it? So you've had a couple challenges here today, right? About agreement, checking with the Lord, checking on excellence, a number of other things. There's another one. What really is an idol? Because if there is anything that's an idol in my life, oh my gosh, it could be my time. You know, I've got this time set apart because it's good and it's working and good things are happening. God might say, did you ever think that maybe your time with some of this really is an idol? For as far as you say you want to be and as much as you say you want to burn, you can burn during worship, but are you burning in other ways where your burn is affecting other people and lightening their load? You know, God has a holy order where those who are running and, you know, talking and sharing and leading and such to help the burn continue to burn brighter should be feeling lighter and lighter. If that's not being felt, there's probably some idol worship going on. Now, don't quote me on that. Don't take it out of the message. There's idol worship at Frontline. Oh, my gosh. You know, maybe there's going to be a statue up here. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about things that are more important to us for our own comfort, for our own calling it. It's God. I mean, it's love. Come on. And God's saying, you're missing it. You're missing the pink elephant right in the room. Let me show you that pink elephant if you want to see it. If you want to see the pink elephant, I'll open your eyes to see it. And then you'll go, oh my gosh, I got to do something about the pink elephant. You understand what I'm saying? That's why I read to you from a heart that was captured, lit on fire, that was sizzling, burning, overwhelmed. And you know what? Here's the question that was asked, or I should say, it was a question. Would you please just sit down, take a moment, and write how you're feeling right now? That was it. It wasn't. Now listen, include these 3 points, because someday we're going to use this, and it's going to be on the website, so you make sure it's good. Tell us how you're feeling. What was it like that first night? How did you feel? And it's amazing. So when you read through them, it's like, wow, it says a lot. Because God, you're amazing. So to sum this up, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Where have I made an unholy alliance, unhealthy agreement? If we are not changed by this passionately offered under the influence message, we'll say, I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe I'll think about it someday. If we want to be transformed by that, we're going to be gripped in awe of the bigness of God right now and say, that's me. Oh my gosh. Okay. Lord, what are you saying? Tell me more. Tell me more. Tell me more. Tell me more. Sounds like an old movie. I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate. The Lord's just saying, guys, if you've got any kind of dirt in you, around you, separate from it. That's what he's saying. And Jesus hung with the sinners. But that's Jesus. And how you hang with sinners is a whole other story. It's a whole other story. Or the brethren. How you hang with the brethren. That's a whole other story. I mean, we are good at putting our own little world together and call it, this is what I do. This is fun. This is where I want to go. This is it. And God is saying, you can, but you said you wanted best. Good is good. But if you want best, I've got best. Do you want best? Do you want to burn? Yes, God. And do not touch what is unclean. And I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Can I look at that again with you folks? Just kind of bear with me and go back a little bit. It says, therefore, come out from their midst and be separate. Don't touch what's unclean, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. What's he saying here? He's saying, do you want to have a revelation of what it means to be a son or a daughter? Do you really want to have that? Do you really want to wake up in the morning and go, Daddy, you're my daddy. You are amazing. Oh my gosh, I am your son. Oh my gosh, I am your daughter. I am related to you. I'm part of the royal family. This is amazing. Wow, what kind of day is this going to be? We're created to live that way. We really are. Even if you don't say those exact words, but that's the holy roar on the inside of you. That this person heard when the miraculous power of God came and made that deaf boy hear. And everybody was like, wow, in amazement. And I burst into tears. That's what I do. Like, so God. So if we want to know him as Papa, we want to know him as Father. Father, Father, Father. A father will protect. A father will take care. A father will give you what you need. A good father, conditioned by the Spirit of God from the kingdom of heaven. And sometimes we measure up to that, but. And he says that my favor will be released through you. So come out and be separate. I will welcome you. Look at verse 17. I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you. This is what he's saying. Humility, let's repent for any big wave that ever is going to come here in Stark County, overseas, wherever it is. The Lord's saying, I just can't move in the midst of gunk. I can, but I'm choosing to not. Repentance is really important. And when you study revivals and you see what he has done in the past and get excited about it and say, what are you going to do now? He's not going to come and say, well, it really doesn't matter. You guys can stay stinking. It's not a problem. You know, I'm God and it doesn't matter. You don't have to worship me. Intercession, I mean, come on. You don't need to be doing this prayer stuff. I'm God. I'm just going to blow it off and, you know, just chill. Have a good life. It's okay. That's not even his nature. His nature is holiness. There's a cry for holiness in the heart of God. He says, be ye holy as I am holy. Know what holiness is. Know what wrecks my world, God says. What is holiness? And then finally, in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, I love this word, therefore. Therefore, because of what I've just said, because of what I've just released, therefore, this is what's going to happen. So let's read the therefore. Therefore, he says, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Cleanse ourselves. Do you know when the fire of God was released in one of the meetings of Charles Finney? Do you know that for 6 years, people couldn't even meet? It was in an auditorium, and people couldn't even meet and have a play or a theater or something like that. They couldn't come. It was so sanctified and holy. It's like, couldn't meet in that place. It's like, whoa, we don't understand what God is saying. Holiness is fun. Holiness is his character. Holiness and righteousness is what we're designed to carry and be. So what was that? What will that affect? What we do on Friday night when we sit down with our bag of popcorn? What movie are we watching? No, I'm serious. What are you reading? What are you watching? What are you listening to? What's going in your ear gate? Your ear gate? Your eye gate? What is it? All of you seers, all of you prophetic people, which is everybody here, all of you intercessors, the Lord is a call on this body, and he's saying purity and holiness will move through you in such a way that you will see the glory of the coming of the Lord. Oh, and he's saying, but they won't come without the price of saying, God, I cannot partner with stuff. It's really not that bad. Really? What would Jesus do if he sat next to you? And we're good at pointing fingers going, that's right, amen, sister. But God is saying, look at yourself. Look at yourself. Look at what you're doing. Look at what you play with on the internet. Look at what games you play. It's no problem. It's just about war and death and mutilation. Give me a break. The Lord says, take a look at what you're really doing because your consciences are being touched. There's defilement that you know not of. You don't understand what God considers to be defilement. He's saying, let's get serious in this season so we can burn together. And it's not just on Tuesdays. It's not on Sundays. We're burning 24/7. We're burning every day. This is how we will burn. And we probably need to clean up our messes in our house. Some of us need to do that. We probably do. And we might even have a family member who helps talk us out of it. And we have to learn to hear what Holy Spirit is saying. So this is really cool. I just want to read that verse, 7:1, in another version, just to give it to you. It's just so much fun. And you know it's October 10th, 2010. Don't you love that? 10-10-10, divine order, government, restoration, finances. Do you know that? How many know that? Are you all about that? Do you think it's an accident that we're getting a message about fire and lining up with things of heaven? Do you think that's an accident? No. You know what I did? I Googled that yesterday. And you know the first thing that came up? Come to 7 witchcraft spells. This is the thing that came up. You know, it was like, oh, wow, okay. I'm all about not, you know, about witches and things like that. But it's like, all right, they're seizing the moment for the 10-10-10 because they are so out of alignment. Anybody who's dealing in the supernatural that's not purified by God. But it was about curses and spells and all the things that we know a lot about, at least in frontline, to be able to stop and counteract so there's no counterfeit. And God is saying, oh, those sad state of affairs for those people. Pray for them. but know how to fight it and know how to counteract it and know how the weapons of your warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, and you know what to do with it. You know how to wield the sword, and you know what to do with the word of God, and you know that I'm just separating myself. It's like, no, no. Some of us need to cut off unholy alliances with our friends because they're not really. They meet an emotional need. But God is saying, do it, do it, do it. Seize the moment. Don't waste time. Seize the moment. Don't waste time. You will be the victor. You will be the one who wins because Jesus has already done it and paid the price. Okay. Oh, that's so good. Let me find this little thing to read to you. It says, I was going to read you about enlarging your tent. Maybe I will. I don't know. But let me first read this to you, because it is so, so good. In the Message, it reads, this is 2 Corinthians 7:1. It reads, with promises like this to pull on us, dear friends, let's make a clean break. Isn't that fun? Let's make a clean break with everything that defiles or distracts us, both within and without. Let's make our entire lives fit and holy temples for the worship of God. To me, let me say that sentence again. Let me just read it. It says, let's make our entire lives fit and holy temples for the worship of God. I don't know about you, but that just smells, hi Josh, of excellence. The word excellence. Excellence. It's like, wow, God, that's what it means. Your love is excellent. And so when I partner with what you're saying, living under the influence, and not just living by principles, but living under the influence, then it's a joy. Thanks, honey. This is a joy to be able to step in and say, oh, wow, this is great, God. What a wake-up call. This is so good. This is going to release more of your fury and your fire here. Is that wonderful? Oh, my goodness. Do you know that we're designed to hear the holy roar? This person who wrote this from the Ghana excerpt that I read to you heard the holy roar of people going, yes, God! Do you know we're designed to hear the holy roar of heaven? So when Michelle came up, part three, last week, after Anne and after Cynthia, yes, thank you, you know, the people I love, and she came up and she said, I heard a shofar. I've never heard a shofar. I heard the shofar. She doesn't even know, probably, that that's scriptural. The Lord says, you will hear the trumpets blast. And I'm releasing the trumpets now. And I'm sending out the forerunners now. I am going to release myself to the people who get this in this season. Really. And then there'll be others who will follow. That's great. Because this big wave's coming, guys. And guys, and God's saying, I'm anointing and have anointed groups, pockets, places, who are people who will say, that's me, that's me, that's me. This is my watch. I want to hear this. And the very thing that, I'll explain more on Tuesday about that because of time here. But the very thing that she heard was a release from heaven. Oh, my word. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Gorabashi. How many of you are familiar with Revelation chapter 3? Just turn in it real quickly in your Bible, where the Lord is speaking to Sardis. Okay, one of the churches that that Jesus is speaking to and about. And in verse 2 and 3, just mark this down, that goes along with the wakey wakey, all right? All of you know about Benny Johnson. Maybe you don't. Benny Johnson has married to Bill Johnson, and she and Bill Johnson partner together, and they've got Bethel Ministries in Redding, California. And last year, one of their international students had come to the school and said that she had an encounter with an angel. And this angel was an angel that was releasing revival. And she was in Wales, actually, and she was told by this angel when she had this encounter, she was told by this angel to go to Moriah Chapel. She was told to go to a certain place where there was an awakening or there was a revival that was started. This is in 1904 with Evan Roberts. And so She knew about that, maybe. I don't really know, but I assume she knew something because she knew what Moriah Chapel was. And she went there. And when she got there, this is the Welsh revival. When she got there, she was told by God, say, wakey, wake up, church, wake up, church, wake up, church. Or wake up or something. I have to go back in my notes to get the exact verbiage. And then when she spoke it out, you know what the Lord spoke to her and said? He said, Is that really all you want? Say it like you mean it. In so many words. Wakey, wakey! Wakey, wakey! And when she did that, the ground underneath her started to shake. Like, this big angel appeared to her. And she looked at the angel, and she spoke to the angel. Would you speak to an angel if he appeared to you like that? She spoke to the angel, and she said, are you the angel that's going to bring the next revival? How? And the angel said, no, I'm not. But I'm the one that released the revival here in 1904. How? And she came back, and she gave that in Bethel at Reading. It's really powerful. And ever since that time, that message has just gone. All shockwaves have been sent all around the country and the world for those who have ears to hear. Ho! And then people who have caught that message and are burning with the Lord, as led by the Lord, they have their testimonies now where they are actually speaking that out, and angels are appearing, and they're waking up. Huh? What? Wake up, church. Wake up, messengers of fire. Wake up, all of us. Wake up to what God is saying right now. He's saying, wake up, no more slumber, no more messages, or no more times when we're in worship where we have to pray because we're slumbering. No. God says, no. Draw the line, draw the line, draw the line. Seize the moment. This is the day. Things need to change. And he's saying, this is powerful. This is my word. Wakey, wakey, wakey. And we call waking up here in this place. Wake up, church. And to finish it up, if you look at verse 2 and 3, it says, wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die. For I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. So remember what you have received and heard and keep it and repent. The Lord says, I am going to visit and stay. We are calling for a habitation of the Lord in this house. We are calling for him to not only rise up inside of us, but come, 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 come. And these tent pegs will not come inward. They will not stay the same, but they will be released. They will be released far bigger than we can even understand to the four corners of the earth, in Stark County, in Jackson Township, in Ohio. The Lord says, you're a lead dog. Do you believe it? Ho! Step in it and go invite people and say, come to this place. Come and be burned up for Jesus if they're ready to hear that one. If not, just say, come, and the Lord will release the authority in you and they will come. Why? Because you've caught the vision. Ho! You haven't just heard the mission mandate of go save souls. You've heard the vision. You've caught the vision. And now the Lord says, I will back you up. Shay! Wow! Hey! Oh, Furabasha. Ooh. Holy Spirit, come. In greater power and measure here, Lord God, and that we would not ask for a release of your power naively. Lord God, that we would say that we are here and we have heard and we are responding and we are saying yes in great joy, with fear and trepidation and the power of the Spirit of the fear of the Lord to be released, Lord God, with holiness being the mark of this new revival, this new awakening that's taking place. Lord, that we are speaking awakening over this place, over our region, over our church, over our families, over our state, over this nation, to the ends of the earth, to the four corners of the earth, Lord God, that we are going to see the signs and the wonders and the miracles released and the power and the fire and the fury of God to overtake us, Lord God, and this will be a place where the burn never stops. Oh. Wow. Hey. I was going to call the worship team up. So the Lord is saying, I'm going to burn. I am burning now. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you to be captured by your love. The most powerful burning force ever to be released and ever will be. Hey, Lord. Yay, Lord. Oh. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you, Holy One. Hey. Wakey, wakey. We are in partnership with you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It won't happen here, Lord. Charles Finney became president of Oberlin College in Oberlin, Ohio. And that place is one of the biggest pits for sexual whatever, whatever, whatever. It's so grieving, because it was founded to raise up ministers of the gospel and train people in the kingdom of God. So, Lord, I just speak a word right now on the college campuses for Malone, for Kent, for Mount Union, Lord God, and even Oberlin, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that there will be a holy, righteous revival, Lord God, that breaks out. You have destined us in this time and in this season and in this place to usher in something so big. It's holy, it's righteous, and it's of you. Ho! And as Cynthia said last week, all hands on deck. If you need to change your world, change your schedule, change it. Hear the voice of the Lord. She. Whoa. If you're looking for an answer, you're looking for a word, you've got it. Accept it. Walk in it. Take it. Ho! Mmm. Ho! Hey. Hey. Oh. Oh. Thank you, Lord. Wow. I am going to release the scripture. I believe I need to do that. I was thinking I might wait, but I will release it. Oh. Yes, Lord. Furabasha. I'm not seeing it, but I know the scripture. Let me see if I have I only have one version here. It says Isaiah 54:2. Let's see if I have it with me. Here, I do have it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Okay. Isaiah 54:2, I want to read it to you. This is the divine order that we are establishing, that we are agreeing with today, Lord, on 10, 10, 10. Lord, we just thank you, Lord God, for this word from you. Thank you, Papa. Thank you, Lord, for the visions of the tent pegs, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for the fabric, the divine fabric in the tabernacle coming down, enwrapping all of us, Lord God, not just this house, but all of us individually in our families right now, Lord God. And we are speaking out prophetically, Lord God, that just as the shofar was heard last week in the Spirit, Lord, audibly, we thank you, Lord God, for the visions that have been released in this season and the words to take us to this point. I thank you, Lord God, that you tell us to spread out and think big. And you tell us, Lord God, in Isaiah 54, clear lots of ground for your tents. Make your tents large, spread out, think big. Use plenty of rope, drive the tent pegs deep. You're going to need lots of elbow room for your growing family. You're going to take over whole nations. You're going to resettle abandoned cities. Don't be afraid. You're not going to be embarrassed. Don't hold back. You're not going to come up short. Ho, for your maker is your bridegroom, his name, God of the angel armies. Your redeemer is the Holy of Israel, known as God of the whole earth. Ho, and in the Amplified it reads, enlarge the place of your tent and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Spare not, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Ho, that's a word from the Lord for us. Enlarge the place of your tent, Nasby says. Stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Spare not. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your pegs. Whoa. Father, as we worship here, Lord, I don't have a clue to what you want to do next. But Lord, I know that you have released today. And I thank you, Papa, for this. And I thank you, Lord, that you are drawing us into a place of deep, deep, repentance and deep holiness and deep fear of you, God, which is all because of your love, the spirit of the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. And I thank you, Lord God, that you're doing it and you're saying, burn little ones, burn little ones, burn little ones. I will be a habitation for you. You have found my favor. I am opening up the windows of heaven. Today is the new day and seize the moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand that you would lift us up in due time. We thank you for a new wave of holiness in this house. Wave of revival and breaker anointing to come and unleash and unlock everything that you've awakened in our hearts today. That there's a new awakening today, starting here, Lord God, that this new awakening will go out from this place like shockwaves all around the neighborhoods. There'll be shockwaves, oh God, for the future, Father, is in your hands, but you're saying, bring it into the now. We call it forth now, and we call forth a partnership with the new awakening that's happening around this country and around the world, and we say yes, so that we partner with that right now. Let's be on our feet and worship the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. If you need to do business with our holy God, come and repent. Come and reestablish whatever he's speaking to you. Make it real for you, because the transforming power is here, because the presence of God is here. And there will be a change. It will be once and for all. The Lord says, what you've been crying for, take hold and seize the day, seize the moment, and come, 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 come. Let's sing I Love You. With everything in our hearts, in humble adoration to our God. We love you, oh God. We love you, Jesus. You.